This is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor in a church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Dave Yoder also happens to be a pastor and a father of five. He also homeschools his kids out in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, too, and makes it down here to our basement studio just about every other day. And we've been doing this for 9 to 10 years. I think we just passed our 10-year anniversary, forgot the party, but we've been at this for 10 years, and God willing, we'll have another 10 years, especially as we monitor the decline of Western civilization and do the best we can to see that God's people are preserved in the midst of the breakdown of social systems, the breakdown of family, the breakdown of sexuality, the breakdown of economic systems. Our goal as a Generations Ministry is to preserve God's people, both socially and economically, over the next 20, 30, 40 years, to see that there be something of a continuation of the Christian faith, to see that there be a continuation of the basic structure of family, and to see that there be something of the kingdom of God. And friends, we know that the kingdom of God is going to do very well from generation on to generation. We know that's going to happen. It's just right now we're looking at the world passing away with the lust thereof. And here's an excellent example of Dave, an article from UK Guardian. This is on Japan, the sexual burnout in Japan. I didn't want to read the whole thing because there's some parts of the story that you probably don't want to hear. But here's a couple of the salient facts from the story. Dave, Japan is in sexual burnout. As you know, economically, Japan's doing very poorly and has for a long time. You know that Japan is birth imploding and has for a very long time. You know that the worker-to-retiree ratio in Japan will be one-tenth of what it was in 1950, some 20 years from now. You know that Japan is probably one of the very worst nations in the world when it comes to the future. And that's because Japan has taken on the existentialistic, materialistic worldview from America and didn't have even half the Christian heritage that we had to sustain something. Japan is doing very, very badly, and now, in this area of sexuality, UK Guardian is saying Japan is in sexual burnout. The number of single people has reached a record high. A survey in 2011 found 61% of unmarried men 18 to 34 years of age were not in any kind of romantic relationship, a rise of almost 10% from 5 years earlier. Another study found that a third of people under 30 had never dated at all. Dave, 61% of these young men are not interested in any kind of a woman-man relationship. Japan already has one of the world's lowest birth rates. Its population of 126 million, which has been shrinking for the past decade, is projected to plunge a further one-third by 2060. He says here the country is experiencing a flight from human intimacy. It's partly the government's fault. I don't know how that works. Is Japan providing a glimpse of all our futures? Again, the UK Guardian is asking the question here, just simply asking the question. Is Japan providing a glimpse of all our futures? Many of the shifts that are occurring in other advanced nations, too. Across urban Asia, Europe, and America, people are marrying later. Not at all. Birth rates are falling. Single occupant households are on the rise. In countries where economic recession is worst, young people are living at home. And David talks about the derelationalization of Japanese society, probably a little ahead of the United States as well. Japanese-American author Roland Keltz, who writes about Japan's youth, says it's inevitable that the future of Japanese relationships will be largely technology-driven. Japan has developed incredibly sophisticated virtual worlds and online communication systems. Its smartphone apps are the world's most imaginative. Keltz says the need to escape into private virtual worlds in Japan stems from the fact that it's overcrowded, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Dave, Japan is burning out. Japan is derelationalizing, desexualizing, and it's because it has, I think, far less Christian heritage. But I don't know if America is very far behind. Obviously, we have exported our Western existentialism, sexual nihilism, materialism to Japan and pretty much devastated that nation pretty fast. And the same thing, by the way, is happening with South Korea. South Korea's birth rate is, I think, the lowest in the world. Last time I checked, it was about 1.1, down from 6.0 in 1960, which means in just 40 years, friends, just one generation, just took one generation of the Western self-oriented, just send the girls to college to get their own career jobs. Who cares about the family? Who cares about developing anything of a significant birth rate for the next generation? Let's just make a lot of money, 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 and maybe that'll keep us satisfied and forget the whole social fabric of the nation. Well, that's what happened in South Korea and Japan. Of course, it's happening in America and the West as well, and that's why there are 80 countries around the world birth imploding right now, and why the worker-to-retiree ratios are plummeting and will plummet for the next 20 to 30 years. The nations are going to bottom out in about 30 years. If you're just looking at the population pyramids, And you just go to populationpyramid.com. If you want to know, and you can just put in the year and figure out when the nation's going to bottom out when it comes to the worker to retiree ratio. Friends, you're going to look at the last nation's bottoming out in about 2060. Everything else is going to happen between 2040 and 2060, meaning that we have probably 25 to 30 years of some level of prosperity before we see a total depression, worldwide depression affecting almost every developed nation around the world, thanks to the birth control pill and the existentialistic worldviews. The idea that we're living our lives for ourselves, for the short term, and we just make our own authentic decisions on the basis of what we think is the right thing to do. And you teach that kind of approach, the Sartorian form of existentialism, for two, three generations, you won't have a society, friends. It will not be there in the years to come. By the way, if you want to know something about the worldviews that are corrupting the modern world, get my book, Apostate. I have an entire chapter on John Paul Sartre. If you are living in the Western world and you don't know who John Paul Sartre is and you have no idea what he taught, friends, you got to get a clue. You got to wake up and smell the coffee. You got to understand what's going on in our world around us, and that's why I wrote the book. But Dave, you know, this whole idea of young men not willing to really get out there and meet a girl. I mean, they don't want to meet girls. They don't want to date any girls. They don't want to get married anymore. They're having too much time fun in their parents' basement doing their porn thing. And Dave, in Japan, the porn thing is very, very common. It's always very, very common. It was common back in the 1970s. Even in America, where it was kind of stuck behind the 7-Eleven, you know, in the back counter, and the average 14-year-old kid couldn't get to it. In Japan, when I was delivering papers back in the 1970s, okay, about 1976, 1977, you would see Japanese pornography plastered all over walls in public streets, okay? And it wasn't the American form. It was the rawest form of pornography. I don't want to describe it, but it was a very, very raw form of pornography, very, very gross. And it was all over the place. And Dave, another story. I'm probably 11 or 12 years of age, maybe 13. And I'm hanging out in the playground, and these boys are all gathered around a kid manga cartoon book, okay? And these are probably, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th grade boys. And I got a glimpse of a picture. And Dave, you know what? Little boys don't need to get those pictures in their minds. And this was, I guess what shocked me as a little boy was this was a bunch of other little boys crowded around a manga book. And you know the Japanese form. You know the Japanese are raw when it comes to pornography. And they pulled the thing all out of the closet in the 1970s and 1980s and 1990s. They ruined a generation or two of kids at 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 years of age. And they did it to the majority of kids. And now, surprise, surprise, you've got a 29-year-old boy. You got a 35-year-old male. You got a 42-year-old male who just is not interested in having kids, getting married, having any kind of a intimate relationship at all. Dave, big surprise, huh?
Well, it's not much of a surprise. Unfortunately for Japan, prior to World War II, they were involved in ancestry worship. After World War II and the Western invasion, they turned to technology worship. No. And neither one of them is going to give them a sustainable society. Technology, you know, the Japanese, they have wonderful creative imaginations, and sometimes their wonders are a little off track. They're on the forefront of making robotic women, robotic mates that you can program, you know, so you don't have to deal with a relationship.
It's interesting.
Way.
Somehow pagan states survived without the benefit of the Western materialistic, technological, desexualized, dehumanized, derelationalized, existentialistic lifestyle of John Paul Sartre. Wow, that was an extreme. But, you know,
that three times fast.
Oh, man. I don't even remember what I just said. But, Dave, somehow we exported this thing to them. And they wanted it. They bought it, hook, line, and sinker. And the end result was the breakdown of the Japanese family, the breakdown of fatherhood, the breakdown of society as a social structure. And I think right now, according to the UK Guardian, the big problem is the breakdown of sexuality, which did come through of some of this technology. And Dave, you know what? We're getting the same stuff. 61% of young men, 18 to 35 years of age, not interested in getting married. 61% out in Japan, not interested in getting married. Do you think that's going to affect our boys, Dave? Imagine 61% of the boys in your church not willing to get married to the young ladies in the church because they've been dehumanized and derelationalized by their technology. Imagine that.
Well, the fruits of that are hard to imagine. It's so horrific. Not only would you just not have boys who are not taking dominion, don't have a helpmeet to take dominion, but you'd have a whole bunch of bitter girls. And then
you talk about a sterile, boring,
Derelationalized world. I mean, this is death.
But we have
this
Facebook.
This is the death of a culture, Dave.
Yeah, and you can, you know, I walked into a restaurant and there were three or four girls sitting around a table all texting somebody else. Maybe they're texting each other. I don't know.
Maybe they were just putting the picture of themselves up on their little Yelp account. You know, I'm here, and this is my food. I'm not on Facebook. And so they're having these meaningful relationships in this virtual online world.
It's the death of meaning, the death of purpose, the death of relationships. This is total death, friends. This is the death of society. And ladies and gentlemen, Dave just gave me this off air. Do you understand that just what? A month ago, in September, we had the largest single entertainment rollout in the world. The largest single entertainment rollout ever in the history of technology, in the history of electronic entertainment, in the history of any kind of entertainment, in the history of the Roman games, in the history of 6,000 years of running out and entertaining ourselves to death. We had the largest single entertainment rollout in the world, and it turns out that it was Grand Theft Auto V.
Bigger than the Super Bowl, yes.
$1 billion in one weekend. That's right. I did not say $1 million. I said $1 billion. Some of you said, I thought he was going to say $1 trillion. No, that's going to be like 10 years from now. No, it was $1 billion in one weekend.
That's called Grand Theft Obamacare. That's exactly. We're not going there.
Exactly. That's coming January 1st. The single largest entertainment rollout in the world was Grand Theft Auto V, friends. It was $1 billion in one weekend. What are they at now? $2 billion? Something like that?
Something like that.
Something like $2 billion. And ladies and gentlemen, Grand Theft Auto V constituted 50% of the total software sales in the month of September. Dave, I could not believe that. I had to read that twice.
It's
50% of the total software sales in America? I mean, does that include the useful stuff? Not just the games, but useful stuff. You know, where you're actually getting things done and doing commercial buying and selling and, you know, running an economy and stuff, not playing Grand Theft Auto in your parents' basement at 29 years
age. It's hard the way the article is written to understand exactly what the total piece of the pie that they're talking about is. But in any case, this is bigger than the Super Bowl, and it has a longer shelf life because the people who play these games, the adolescent youths and adolescent adults, we'll play this for hours and hours and hours and hours. Each sale will probably represent something about 400 hours of involvement. So this is well beyond any movie. This is way beyond the Super Bowl in terms of its effects.
And please understand, Grand Theft Auto is not Pac-Man.
No.
It's not Pac-Man. That was, by the way, that's the last computer game I remember playing.
Oh.
Ms. Pac-Man.
Oh.
Remember Ms. Pac-Man?
It's nice to know that you're enlightened.
I think I have blown like $3 in a Ms. Pac-Man machine.
But it was worth a whole lot more than $3 back then.
Yeah.
With inflation and all. Kevin, this game is the vilest of all human activities.
They have prostitutes running around. There's
they have pornographic scenes.
And people rape each other.
And they're stealing and they're blaspheming left and right. This is, I guess, the fantasy to be a criminal.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is what the boys are doing, friends. This is how Rome falls. This is what men are doing as Rome burns. And Dave, an important thing here that we want to say is the way you get to sexual burnout and derelationalized forms of life is by plugging into games. It's by and believe me, friends, we could trot up 100,000 housewives in America who'd point out that their husbands are doing this kind of thing. And I'm sure there's some husbands that could point out their wives doing the same kind of thing. It seems like boys go a little quicker than girls, and that's what's happening in the present day. That's why 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970, according to Newsweek magazine, 3 years ago. And that's why you got 61% of young men not interested in marriage or anything, and 49% of women, 18 to 34 years of age, not interested in any of that romantic stuff. And in Japan, more men not interested in any kind of intimate sexual / relational involvement because this is what happens when a society walks away from God. This is what happens to a society that borrows all of the apostate forms of the existentialism, materialism, that developed out of an American entertainment system, out of American cultural systems, out of American social systems. Granted, there are some things different between Japan and America. I've been on both sides of the nation, the ocean a number of times, friends. I grew up there, as I mentioned. And in Japan, yes, pornography is more public than it is here in America. That's the way it's been for 40 years at least. But Japan doesn't have as high of a divorce rate as America. America happens to have the highest divorce rate in the world. I'm going to touch on that in just the next segment. So, you know, don't get too excited that America is doing better than Japan. I think our illegitimacy rate is higher, much higher than the Japanese legitimacy rate, but the abortion rates are probably pretty similar. The Japanese don't publish their abortion rates. They're pretty ashamed of them still. There's something of a shame still in Japanese society, Dave, so you don't always get the stats as you would get them here in America.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, I think that before you have sexual burnout, you have a disparaging of how the two genders, especially within marriage, are supposed to function and work. And unless the Bible comes and informs us is a proper role for a husband, a proper role for a wife, how they relate to each other in that relationship, we're going to end up with skewed views. The traditional Japanese view where the woman was essentially a geisha, she didn't speak till it was spoken to, had a little backpack, you know, that's how we Westerners at least envision it, that she was very, very submissive to the modern day feminist, liberal woman that Japan's dealing with now. You know, those are the two options.
Right.
The men are going to say, you know, get me a dog. And in fact, let's build a robot dog, because then I don't even have to clean up after it.
Right, exactly. And they're building the robot dogs, and they're building robot women, and they got the whole derelationalized thing in Japan. But friends, the solution is what? The solution is a biblical world and life view. The solution is to get back to the Word of God, a biblical concept of manhood and womanhood, a biblical concept of sexuality. It's time to get rid of the porn. It's time to get it out of the basement. Get it off your computer if it's on your computer. You know, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Dave, there's an interesting text I was focusing on last night, and that was, you know, Jesus encouraging us to be delivered from this present evil age. And the John comes out in 1 John chapter 2 and said, this world passes away with its lusts. And this is exactly what's happening right before our eyes. I was amazed to think about this. I thought, this is what's going on. Okay, they dragged out sexuality. They ruined it. They put a porn everywhere. They plastered it everywhere. They got rid of modesty and dress everywhere, on the beach and everywhere else. They sexualized everything. They dragged their sexuality all over the place, and then they turned into homosexuality, which is the ultimate burnout. And then finally, they had no more interest in it, and society began to implode its birth rates and desexualize and derelationalize to the point where technology just governs us, and we're just people who have electrodes on our brains, and we're just downloading information from the internet full time. Okay, so that's the kind of life that we get when we abandon God's law order. Friends, it's time to get back to God's principles. And Dave, I think it's repent or perish. You know, I think that applies here. I think God's people need to know that they need to play by God's rules. They can't be playing footsie with the system that is so corrupting and so destroying and is self-destructing right now. It's time to get away from that system, or we will die with it.
Well, friendship with the world is enmity with God. We know that from the Word of God, so we don't have to doubt those words. We have to be careful as we move towards friendship with God rather than friendship with the world, that we understand the boundaries that God has placed for us, also the activities that God has blessed. The problem isn't that there's too much sex in the world. The problem is that it's not God's kind of sex.
There's too much sin in the world.
There's too much sin
in the world. We need to define things by God's laws. We got to take a break, friends. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm going to pull out another couple of stories on marriage. What's going on in California? Oh, man. We'll be back in just a moment. Back on the Generations Broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And Dave, I'm going to turn a corner here, and we're going to talk about the health care bill in just a moment. The Obamacare system, which is coming like a freight train by January 1st, 2014, maybe, depending on whether they can get their act together or not by then. But here is an interesting story that ties into medical care and the mandatory insurance that at least California health insurers will have to cover. According to a bill signed by California Governor Jerry Brown, and it should begin again January 1st, 2014, and it is health insurance covering fertility treatments for gay couples. It's a New American article that came out last Thursday. And Dave, here is the price list. Here's the price list quote. The Associated Press noted, one complication facing same-sex couples is that insurance coverage for fertility treatments typically does not kick in until couples have tried to conceive naturally for 12 months. That's not possible for same-sex couples. So,
well, the devil's in the details, apparently.
Yes, it's complicated.
It's complicated. They'll probably have to get that straightened out there in California.
Yeah. Maybe, we have to explain why that's not possible for same-sex couples?
Please don't.
Okay. Anyway, I hope everybody in California is really happy that their insurance now covers fertility treatments for homosexuals. Another reason to abandon Obamacare, Dave, and exempt ourselves from the system. Yet another reason, if you're counting reasons. I've got so many reasons, I just blog on this. By the way, we're not really sure that the individual mandate is going to kick in on January 1st, 2014. Now, they're supposed to do that, but the White House appeared to leave the door open Monday to delaying the so-called individual mandate to the federal health care law.
But they can't – I don't understand how they can do that. See, the White House is not the Congress and is not the Senate. We have a law, a statute
law?
That was passed.
Law?
We passed 2,000 pages of paper so that we could find out what was in it. Yeah. But conceivably, once the ink dried, that was the law. And now the president can't go change the law without sending it back to the Congress and the Senate, because they're the ones that passed the law. He only signed onto it. So I'm kind of confused how we can make up the law as we go here, because we actually – the ink did dry eventually on all – 2,000 pages.
Yeah, well, they're having a hard time administrating it, so they may have to put it off, I guess. According to this guy, Jay Carney, Press Secretary Jay Carney, he is saying that the country is just 3 weeks into a six-month enrollment process and suggests it's too early to make any decisions of that magnitude as to whether the individual mandate would be delayed. Dave, my guess is it's not going to be delayed. Now there are scores of ministries filing class action suit against the contraception mandate. Over 100 Christian ministries, again, New American, over 100 Christian ministries have filed a class action lawsuit to stop the implementation of the mandate. I think this is the corporate mandate of the Department of Health and Human Services requiring employers to provide free contraceptives, including abortion-causing drugs, to their employees. The ministries, which all provide health benefits to their employees through the Southern Baptist Convention's Guidestone Financial Resources, do not qualify for the exemption that HHS offers to churches and a few narrowly defined religious organizations. So there's 100 Christian ministries now filed a class action lawsuit to try to reverse the implementation of the mandate. The corporate mandate, we'll see how successful they are. In the meantime, Dave, I think I want to encourage our listening audience to prepare for January 1st, 2014. Let's prepare. January 1st, 2014 is going to be a moment of decision for so many people. Dave, it will represent, I think, the most important ideological shift for more Americans in my lifetime than any other implementation of any other law since Social Security was introduced in the 1930s. Economists are now saying that 87% of Americans will sign up for government-subsidized health care. That is 13% of them will not be subsidized, but 87% of Americans will be subsidized as of January 1st, 2014. And I guess my question is, do people want to go onto welfare at this level? Will there be that many people seeking welfare by January 1st, 2014? Will 87% of our friends and relatives and fellow church members sign up for government welfare on January 1st, 2014? Will we see 99% of our friends and relatives and fellow church members sign up for Obamacare on January 1st, 2014 as part of the individual mandate? Will we see the majority, the vast majority, sign up for socialized medicine on January 1st, 2014? Will the average American evangelical churchgoer sign up for Obamacare? Will they say, I'm on board, I will be a socialist, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren will be socialists until the end of time, as far as I'm concerned? Or will they exempt themselves from it using the Christian medical sharing ministries?
I guess that's my question, Dave. I think we have a moment of decision coming up, and it's going to be interesting. I think there will be a fair number who will exempt themselves. I'm guessing as many as 200,000 will exempt themselves. And if I go 200,000 over 200 million, what do I have? I guess I have barely 0.1%. I got about 0.1% of Americans will exempt themselves from the Christian with the Christian medical sharing ministries, and they will not sign up. And they will not agree to be socialists and support the socialist Obamacare system on January 1st, 2014. And if they don't, by the way, if they don't exempt themselves and they don't sign up, they will open themselves up for a fine. It's $95 per person per year, or 1% of your income in 2014. For my family, that'd be $700. By 2017, that works up to about $5,000. Or 2016, that works up to about $5,000 for a family of seven. That is a family my size. So, Dave, it would not be prudent for me to not exempt myself unless I want to open myself up to a $5,000 fine.
Well, Kevin, you're such a pessimist. I mean, Mitch McConnell has assured the nation that as soon as the Republicans get both houses and the presidency, that this law will go away. That's, I mean, Mitch McConnell has outlined a strategy of surrender until you can win.
Well, the Republicans are not going to reverse this. We all know that. The question right now I'm asking, though, is forget the Republicans. Forget whether or not we're going to reverse Obamacare. My question is to individual Americans. How many individual Americans would voluntarily walk away from socialist medicine? Well, obviously, they've voted for Barack Obama over and over again. They vote for Republicans and Democrats that have stamped their approval on Obamacare over and over again, including John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. Americans have already proven themselves. The majority of them want it. So the majority of them are going to get it. My question is, how many will exempt themselves? Will we achieve a 0.1%? Will 200,000 Americans exempt themselves from socialist medicine on January 1st, 2014? Can we achieve 0.1% of Americans to say, you know what? I'd rather not be a socialist. I'd rather do it in a more biblical sense and use Christian medical sharing or SamaritanMinistries.com in order to accomplish this, or would they rather participate in funding abortifacients and potentially abortions as well? Life News just came out with an article about a week ago where Obamacare is supposed to exchange, the new exchanges are hiding information on abortion coverage, and in other words, enabling abortion coverage with the new system. So will the average Christian say, I'm on board with the abortifacient funding, with abortion funding as well? Will they be on board in California for covering fertility treatments for homosexual couples? Will most of our church's families making less than $50,000 per year sign up to the government-subsidized welfare program in the form of medicine? Many of them for the very first time in their lives. Will they say, I am good with going on to food stamps, or I am good with going on with to government-subsidized socialist medicine? And according to the Congressional Budget Office, 87% of Americans who enroll in the health laws marketplaces in 2014 will receive at least some government assistance to buy their coverage. That's thinkprogress.org. Will the American Christians participate in a system that represents way more socialist big government control on their families' medical decisions in the years to come? Will they make that decision on January 1st, 2014? That's my question. Will they say, hey, hands off, if somebody on the 24th floor of some big building in New York City is going to determine whether or not my kid conceived with Down syndrome is going to get any coverage, or whether we ought to just abort him, are they willing to just say, hey, let the big shots make the call on the medical coverage for my children, because what the government funds, the government controls? Will they give up the control of their medical choices to government, who will make the calls for what they do with their medical funding because they're getting subsidized through Obamacare in the year 2014, 2015? Will they sign up for the $11,000 marriage penalty by enrolling in Obamacare on January 1st, 2014? I'm just curious about this all, Dave. Will they support a system that increases the average insurance cost for a family from $15,000 a year to $23,000 a year in the year 2014? Or will the Christian families say, hey, let's take advantage of the Christian medical sharing ministries and let's wind up saving about $19,000 in insurance fees every year, whether they're paid for by the government or paid for by yourself? Will they say, hey, I'm going to not support abortion here. I'm going to refuse to support birth control with abortifacient capabilities. I want more freedom to make the decisions for my own families. I want to save $19,000 in insurance fees each year. I want to stay off the public dole. I'd rather not be a welfare right. I'd rather be free. I love freedom. I'd rather be free. Dave, all of this is coming to a head on January 1st, 2014. And I'm just encouraging people
to look into the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries. I think it's a wonderful option. It's a real test. It's a test for God's people. Would they rather be free, or would they rather be controlled by a socialist medical care system?
But Kevin, right now, they're going to have to want to go and opt into the Christian Medical Sharing Ministry route, because that's not on the websites. The navigators of the Affordable Health Care Act, or the whatever they're calling it these days, don't know about it. So you're going to have to go do it.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to believe that somewhere in the law, those who have read all 2,000 pages of it assure us that there is an exemption.
And we can send you a copy of the page of the law. I've got it on a file, so if anybody's interested, it's very easy to find it. And you just do a search in the law for it. You do a search for medical sharing, and you'll find it. But according to the HHS department, the exemption application is not available yet, and may not be for another couple of weeks. That's what I just saw on one of the news stories out there. But Dave, I just would encourage people to consider the possibility of Christian Medical Sharing Ministries. I think small companies under 50 employees and families who choose to exempt themselves from this draconian system will find themselves with way more disposable income and more of an edge in the market than those companies that are bogged down with Obamacare premiums. I mean, think about it, Dave. All those Christian companies, Christian ministries, 50 employees and less, they're not bound by the corporate mandate, and they can exempt themselves. And they can send their employees off to the Christian Medical Sharing. And in the end, Dave, they're saving each family $19,000 per year. And over 50 families, that's a humongous savings for that small company. Small companies are going to be in like Flynn, and there's going to be all kinds of opportunities. I think, Dave, what God has done for us is provided an exemption that allows for more freedom, but also more prosperity. And I think more of a capability for these smaller companies to compete in the marketplace. Why? Because they're not bound by the draconian insurance programs that require the $26,000 gig per family each year. Man, we got a great possibility right now with the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries, and I hope that hundreds of thousands of families will take advantage of it. Friends, again, the website for Christian Medical Sharing Ministries is SamaritanMinistries.org. SamaritanMinistries.org. There's a couple others out there. If you do some searches, you'll find a few others out there as well. I encourage you to check out SamaritanMinistries.org as a viable option to not sign up for Obamacare, to not sign up for all the socialist draconian system of regulations. And Dave, how many pages of regulations? Not just the 2,000 pages, but I think there were something like 350,000 pages of regulations involved in the Obamacare system. Friends, just exempt yourself from all of that. Use the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries that God has enabled for us. I think it's an island of freedom. Let's take advantage of it. Well, friends, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.